Welcome to Portia Pattern with Bracken Helms, the show where we hear Bracken and his distinguished guests from the Portia community patter on about Porsches and all things automotive. Portia Pattern is sponsored by Circuit 64. Circuit 64 creates authentic automotive apparel made for like-minded automotive enthusiasts. The links for Circuit 64 are in the show notes. Okay, let's get to it.
The Professor Part 4. All right, in this one we talk about the car hobby, the social aspects of the car hobby, different versions of our car hobby, women in the car hobby. We also talk about EVs. So here's part 4 of The Professor. So you kind of dabbled on this like a little bit, which I hadn't asked yet, but the rise of air-cooled prices, you had kind of said that, you know, yeah, ideally we all want to buy our, you know, three of the cars that we really want. But you also said, like, when you look at some of the other cars out there, they're actually still a really good value for what they are.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I find interesting is it's a double-edged sword. So my cars have gone up in value, an enormous amount of money since I bought them. And right. So on the one hand, that makes me look like a real savvy investor. But the truth is, I'm priced out of buying any more cars that I love. Like, the more and more popular these cars get, the farther and farther away from buying another one we all become.
Even though they've gone up in value, they're still kind of a bargain considering what you're getting in them. I mean, to make that car now.
Yeah, that's right. And I think a $50,000 80s 911 can be a vessel for more fun than a car 10 times that price.
Right.
Well, you just feel like I can't believe anybody's having more fun than I'm having in my cheap-ass little rusty car.
Yeah. So are car hangouts less divided today, would you say? And is that a good thing or a bad thing?
The hobby is expanding. Like you said, there's a whole Hellcat crowd or JDM crowd and all these things that didn't really exist 20 years ago. More cars and coffees, more car events than there may have been. I really do think the hobby is growing, and that's a great thing. There's some crossover for sure. You know, car guys, like, you're a car guy.
Yeah.
You're not just about Porsches. You love other cars too.
Right. What is your thought on the environment in our hobby? Because, like, I've seen, like, all sides of the spectrum. And so I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts because, you know, there's people that are just like, oh, got anything that any law that passed, oh, I need to move out of California because of this, or they're coming after me because of this. And there's those people that just literally just want to run straight headers out of their car, like shooting flames, and they shouldn't be hindered at all. And then there's some people that are like saying, like, literally, I can see across the bay now when I used to couldn't, and I'm going to bitch about it because it's going to take 5 horsepower because of my catalytic converter. I mean, come on. So there's different views on that. And we know that our hobby is not like the best on the environment, but.
Yeah. That's a great question because you're right. The love of nature and the love of automobiles can be at odds. But as you also point out, perspective is everything when we consider a subject. So, yeah, what's your angle? So I like to think of it this way. I have a bunch of old, smoky, stinky cars that fortunately in California are smog exempt. So on the one hand, it looks like, well, here's the professor. He's a gross polluter. But I prefer to look at it this way. I am taking all those polluting cars off the road and hoarding them to myself. There is only one me. I can only drive one car at a time. So in my own little way, I'm doing my part for ecology and the environment by taking those cars off the road and putting them in my driveway.
Right.
Again, perspective is everything.
Yeah.
That's mine.
Right. Okay. What's your thoughts on EVs? And also, do you feel like they're too fast? Because my thought is, like, when they came up with, like, let's use like some of the early ones, like that Chevrolet EV9 or whatever the hell it was. I don't know. And then, you know, even with the, which brings up what you'd said earlier with the Prius, like everybody looks at it as, you know, they're boring if they're trying to be that. And so I think Tesla kind of tried to sell it by, oh, I'm not going to update my cars. I'm just going to keep adding, like make them fast. And that's going to blow people's minds.
I'm fine with alternate energy, to be sure. And electric cars seem like they're getting a footing in this world and have a place here. But we will remember, or maybe we won't remember because we were generations from being born, but when the automobile came to be, the idea was, hey, no more pollution. Right. We're not going to have to walk around in horseshit all the time anymore. It's going to be gone. We've got fossil fuel burning automobiles to keep our streets clean. 100 years later, there's the same argument. Like, these cars are the polluters and now we have to keep our environment more clean. It's cyclical. What's next? I mean, maybe the future is going to be, hey, what are we doing with all these old batteries? We can't reuse them. We'll bury them in our drink water, perhaps. I don't know, but it may not be the ultimate solution to automobile pollution.
Right. I mean, I'm with you with the, I have no problems with EVs. I'm not in love with Tesla. So I actually, like, when I make little comments about Tesla, people are like, oh, you must not like EVs. Oh no, I'm fine with EVs. I'm like super excited about EVs because the more of them there are, the more they're going to take down Tesla. and now recently I've started saying that, and it's like, oh, you just don't like Elon Musk. No, I never liked Elon Musk. It had nothing to do with when he took over Twitter or when he went crazy. Like, I didn't like him like years ago. But yeah, my other issue with EVs is sometimes I feel like they're like, it's just crazy to me that like you can just get like a family hauler now that's just like, it's supposed to be just hauling kids like an SUV, like a soccer mom car, and they're just faster than most cars that are supposed to be fast, like a Mustang or a Camaro. And so that's right. that throws me a little bit off because I asked myself, like, okay, what's going to happen? Like, how vast is the difference going to be between, like, let's say, like a 67 Camaro compared to like a 2020 Camaro versus like, how vast is the difference going to be between a 2020 Camaro and like a 2040 EV Camaro?
Yeah. So you're saying that the electric cars are just becoming too fast.
Yeah. I mean, it's the argument's way far gone that like it makes our cars seem slow. It's like making like a Porsche or other serious sports car slow that was made 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That's and true. They're just hauling their family. It's just people that are like commuting. I mean, some of these people that are buying the EV is for not really for speed too. They're kind of like more like people that I worry about are going to kill someone. And now they're in this ridiculous accelerating rocket ship.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Maybe my argument for safety is greater driver education that lacks in the United States in general. And in California specifically, it's just so easy to get a driver's license. I'm guessing 99.9% of motorists in California have never read the California Driver's Handbook, which is a great book. Yeah, there's a lot of useful information. If we all were like-minded, I think we'd all be safer.
Right. What do you find troublesome in the automotive world right now or in Porsche circles?
Well, to answer the first question, and back to your original statement, what I find troublesome in the automotive world right now is Elon Musk. you have a beef. What's your beef with Tesla?
I don't like that. Like they're able to get away with everything. Like, oh, we're going to bring out the, I mean, I can say anything. I can say the Cybertruck that was supposed to be out like 2 years ago. Now all of a sudden people are starting to like, oh, well, I have one. And that Mazda 3 was supposed to come out Tesla 3 was supposed to come out like 3 years before it actually did. So they always said, can you imagine if Toyota said, we're going to come out with a Camry. It should be out in 9 months. And 3 years later, they finally brought out that Camry. Toyota would be buried. Toyota would be buried if they came out with a car and they're like, oh yeah, we got panel gaps that are just all off. It's thrown together. The rubber stripping is like not lining right here. I mean, you see these things on like YouTube of these people that detail cars, and they're like, we get Teslas in, and they just point out all these bizarre things. They just throw these cars together, and if any other company just threw their car together, but like Tesla, like their cars are just thrown together and stuff that like other auto manufacturers do that they would never get away with. Tesla just gets away with it.
Yeah. Well, those other auto manufacturers aren't trying to get to the moon. Right. And that may be wherein the difference lies. I don't know. But the Elon part of it really turns me against Teslas. But I'm fine about the EV.
Yeah. So anything else you find troublesome in the automotive world today, or just like even at like Cars and Coffees or these Porsche circles?
The cars we love are getting more and more expensive.
What do you think is the most exciting thing in the Porsche world right now, or even the automotive world?
Bracken's podcast.
That makes sense. That does make sense.
Yeah. And Circuit 64 t-shirts are pretty awesome too. But for me, it's just like the community in general, which is an extension of what I just said, because it didn't used to be that way. Right. So there's so many young people that are involved in this hobby now, people of all walks of life in a way that they used to not be. I mean, the Porsche crowd used to be sort of a, middle-aged white males. And now the Porsche crowd, with gold chains and satin jackets, pleated khaki pants. Now the Porsche world is hipsters like yourself and your brother and the guys who appreciate the cars as art as well as performance. So that leaves me optimistic about the future of the classic car hobby.
What is the best drive you've ever had?
Do you mean road or car or perhaps combination?
I mean, like when everything kind of seems to gel.
It's a great feeling. Sometimes everything's just going right and you're in rhythm and there's no other traffic and conditions are perfect and your tires are warm and your car's running perfectly. And you can sort of leave your body or leave your mind and just be one with the machine and forget that you're driving. So that's what I love. And, my skill behind the wheel varies day to day. It's just biorhythms, I think. Some days you shoot the basketball and 9 out of 10 go in, and the next day 1 out of 10 goes in. So I kind of feel the same way about the other active things I do, where one day it seems to come easily to me, and another day it can be more of a struggle. Yeah, so I love it when the conditions are right, the biorhythms are good, and we're just in the flow, in the zone.
So one, like, you don't have one that like really sticks out?
Not in particular, no. But I do find myself out by myself driving around and laughing out loud, uncontrollably. then I know I'm having a good time. I start giggling to myself. I know that things are going well. And that can be in, a really slow car or a faster car or, trying to keep up with a buddy or having friends in the mirrors or any of those conditions. But generally, I just love driving.
Right. So you seem to be like, you put on these drives, obviously, and you're around these cars all the time, and then you see how they perform on these drives. So if someone were to buy, they were kind of, I would say, kind of newbies, and they were to buy like an old air-cooled Porsche, what advice would you give to that person if they were like, okay, so I want to modify my car. What do I do to set this car up?
I would say the best way to squeeze performance out of one's vintage sports car is to practice, practice, practice.
Yeah, I've gotten that. You're talking about driving, right?
Yeah. I don't think we can make up for a lack of skill through any go fast parts. I really think seat time is the key. Experience is the key to enjoying yourself in a car and having your car perform well.
So with this next question is, like, I've read enough magazines where it's like, they'll like be taken like they'll take an Impact, like a G-body car, and they'll have two of them, and they'll be comparing like the 3.2 to the SC or something. And they're like, oh, well, this car just, it's got so much more feel. I can feel what I can feel what it's doing. I can. And then they find out that the only reason they like it better is because one has the 15-inch wheels, and then the other one has the optional 16. Yeah, you're going to have more rubber on the 16 and it looks better. But I mean, I don't know how many times like people are like, oh, I got so much more feel in this. And then they end up finding out that it's just got 15-inch wheels. So I know most people are like, oh, well, I like more rubber. But I sometimes wonder how much people like the earlier cars, and it might just be because of the tire size. Obviously, it's also going to be weight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, I like sidewall. Right. I really do. The trend for the low profile tires, I think, is in part an aesthetic. Yes, it corners faster or whatever, but I really think that the impetus is because it looks cool. But I like a little meat between the wheel and the road. Yeah, and I like to feel like the road, and I like to feel the car the way that the engineers intended it to be felt when they built it, with skinny, high-profile tires and the giant pizza pan steering wheel. I kind of dig that.
Obviously, you put on these drives and you're in the social scene a lot. So I'm wondering your thoughts on women and cars, or women and the, I don't know, cars and coffee, or in the social scene.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was touching upon earlier with this ever-growing enthusiasm for classics is, I know more and more female friends who just love cars because they love cars, not for any other reason, not because, of any males present. But I think just there are more people being minted as car lovers these days, or maybe they're being exposed through social media to the community and world of classic cars, that it's just brought tons of new folks, different demographics.
I mean, my view on that is my mom was always kind of like a tomboy. And yeah. So like, I guess I grew up like, not really like labeling women as, oh, you should do this and I should do that. But even like today, like I'm thinking when I go to like Easy or I hang out with the people up here, some of my favorite people are the women. I mean, like Jennifer Sloan, she works at like, what does she work at? Like she works at like a restore vintage racing. They restore vintage racing cars. So she's more knowledgeable. And I'm sure there's people that are probably like, oh, I wonder if she's here with her husband. And it's like, she knows probably more than her husband does. And he's an enthusiast too. And then there's another lady named Megan Young. And oh my God, so I'm on this like the R group / Easy private Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And I remember when she first came on there, it's like everybody wants to be cool by like posting something. Like, let's say, oh, perfect example, Loof's coming up. So someone wants to post, oh, Loof, they announced the tickets are going on sale. And so they want to be the one to post it. And I saw like a bunch of times where she would post things and then someone would post the same thing. And I'm like, okay, is that because she's a girl, a woman, or is that because they're just too brain dead to scroll down in like a normal forum where it's like, make sure this question wasn't asked before. But then it happened like a couple more times. And so I started making comments. And of course, they're probably like, oh, there's Bracken being an asshole making smart ass comments. But they weren't that smart ass. I'm just kind of like, Megan already posted this, and there's already been comments on this subject. But yeah, I still kind of felt like, okay, well, I know like Stefan has that one friend. I think you're pretty good friends with her, that Brit Pop. She seems like she's like
Maria Casey.
Is that a real name?
Yeah, she's MC. She's the MC of the Porsche community in LA. Yeah, she's the hub. The rest of us kind of just circle around her. Yeah, and she's a great collector and knowledgeable expert on Porsche cars, and just one of many examples that have come into my life in the last years through the community and car hobby. So yeah, it doesn't the car hobby, despite what it may have been years ago, knows no gender now.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, comment, like, and share with your friends. Feel free to send questions or suggestions to the email in the description of the show. Special thanks to our sponsor, Circuit 64. Goodbye for now. We hope we can get together again for our next episode. Now get out there and enjoy the cars and the people.